This is F Society IRC Podcast, a Mr. Robot show. I'm your moderator of this chat, Hirosha Shive.
We are now on episode eight, The White Rose. This episode of Mr. Robot is probably one of the most amazing episodes I've seen in television in a very long time. It kind of reminded me of the Lost episode called Henry Gale, I believe, where the character Saeed comes back from his trip with, who was he with? He was with Charlie and Annalise, and they were verifying the story of Henry Gale, whom we later learned through the series of Lost. If you've never seen the show, he turns out to be a bad guy named Ben, verifying his story that he crashed on the island on a hot air balloon. And they go to track down his hot air balloon and verify that his fiance, his significant other, is dead. And then Zaid comes back and he like almost attacks Ben, basically. And he does this big reveal of the going to the crash site, finding the hot air balloon, finding the grave. And then Zaid pauses and he just slams his ID. And it shows the name Henry Gale, but the picture on the ID is a black man. And obviously Ben, who is white, is not, you know, Henry Gale. And it's one of the most shocking moments of a Lost. It kind of culminates all the good and best storytelling there was on television at the time in that episode. And the best storytelling of that particular show culminated in that particular episode. And I'm hoping that White Rose, when they do like the Emmy nominations for next year, is up for consideration for the writing and the direction of that particular episode, because it was just so amazing. It was so great. So let's get into the episode. We're going to talk about what happened in the show, and then we'll talk about what was real. While there wasn't tremendous amount of hacking, there was a lot of computer stuff going on in the episode that was real, as well as some a bit of a social engineering and the different types of philosophies when it comes towards hacking or approaching a problem. So let us begin. So we open up with Darlene, which is the first time we've opened up with this character, and she's out on a balcony overlooking the city, and it's obvious that she's in a kind of like the one percenter, the people that they're going up against place, and it's some guy that she's sleeping with, someone she knows, and they have this interesting conversation because he's a bit of a Wall Street guy, and she's like, you know, what if all this goes away? What if all the money or everything, like civilization is pretty much as he knows it and she knows it, is gone? What would that mean? You know, what would you do in essence? And he was like, what, like a zombie apocalypse? And she goes, no, like a revolution. And he scoffs it off and he's like, I thought we had an agreement about, you know, checking the politics out the door. So they obviously have a kind of a long-term intimate relationship of some sort. And they have this conversation and, you know, yeah, he has to get to work and saving the world by spreadsheets, but, you know, one spreadsheet at a time. And he's like, you know, there's stupid people in the world, and he's a smart person. He gets paid very well for being smart. And it's not just, you know, the rich and the poor. There's people in the middle. There's survivors like Darlene. And that, you know, basically, in essence, things are not going to end. And he, you know, he leaves work. He leaves her there at the apartment, his apartment. And she goes and she starts searching for the apartment because she's looking for a safe. And she finds his safe, which is in a wall. And she uses a bit of social engineering, which we'll get back to in what things are real on this show. But she opens the safe and she gets his gun. And then she takes his gun and she leaves. Then we go to a little bit, kind of follow Darlene, and she goes to a ballet class and there's Angela. So we're wondering, is she following Angela? What she's doing with Angela? She's like really close to Angela. She's stalking Angela for some reason. And it turns out that Angela and Darlene know one another, and they know one another for a very long time. And they're united by the subject of Elliot. Angela was on the phone with Ollie and they were arguing. And I guess Ollie was telling her about the hacker from last episode, telling him they need to do something. And, you know, Angela doesn't care. You know, she's like, it's Ollie's problem. And Darlene is like, you know, inquiring to Angela, you know, are you going to go get back with that guy? And she's like, no. she's not. And they have a conversation about Elliot and how it basically is that these two are constantly worrying about Elliot. And so it's obvious that there's some kind of relationship, yet we don't know what it is at this point in the episode, that they know one another. Obviously, they have some kind of connection to not only themselves, but to Elliot as well. And then we continue to follow Darlene, and she's on the subway, and she's freaking out. She gets her hand into the purse because she sees two Chinese men that are staring at her. And then they approach her, and she has her hand on the gun, and they give her instructions. They're obvious from the Dark Army, which she suspected that they were, and that they're giving her the instructions to meet White Rose. So we go a little bit further, and Darlene meets up with Elliot, and she basically tells him that the meeting's on, this is what you need to do, and she hands Elliot the gun that she stole. Elliot is like, I don't even know what to do with it, even if I had this, and he doesn't want the gun. And Darlene gives the gun back to him and says, you're going to meet my Rose. You're going to go be meeting the Dark Army. These are dangerous people. You need to be careful, Elliot. You need to protect yourself. And he's like, no, I don't need this. So he gives the gun back to Darlene. And so Darlene's a little frustrated. So she takes Elliot's phone. And he goes, what are you doing? I'm calling me from your phone so you can have my number. We got to protect ourselves. And he's like, no, that's not part of the plan. And she goes, that's for F Society. Us not knowing one each other is for F Society. We need to protect one another. We need to protect each other. And so she calls herself, and now Elliot has Darlene's phone number. And so he walks away from her, and Darlene takes the gun and puts it in the popcorn machine because they're at the F Society hangout. And then Mr. Robot comes around, and he goes to Elliot, and he's like, you need to get rid of Darlene's number. And he's like, I'm not going to use it. And he goes, you need to get her the number. There's rules for a reason. And Elliot's like, it's he's kind of dismissive of Mr. Robot's concerns. It's going to be fine. And so Elliot basically leaves. And now we get to Tyrell. And Tyrell is freaking out. He basically has just murdered somebody, and he is freaking out. He does not know what to do. He's kind of unhinged. And this is a state that we have not previously seen Tyrell in, really, because he's always been kind of in control. I mean, we've seen some explosive anger and outbursts when plans don't come together for him. But he is just full on sweating bullets here. So Tyrell is at work, and he's just obviously freaking out. And he runs into a guy, and he just flips out at this guy who spilled all this coffee on him. And it's because Tyrell is just paranoid. He overhears a conversation, and he thinks they're referencing, what happened. But he got distracted. He runs into this guy. Coffee spills on him. He flips out. He keeps going on. He runs into his assistant. His assistant he wants all his appointments canceled. He doesn't want to be disturbed. His assistant, is talking to him, and she's like looking at him, and is, because he has coffee on him, and he looks down, and he kind of has like this kind of almost like a maniacal Joker laugh, and he like goes, yes, I would like some coffee. And then he goes into the office, and he has an appointment with Gideon. This is what his assistant was telling him, is Gideon was there, and he is from All Safe, and he was insistent on seeing Tyrell. So he sits down with Gideon, and Gideon tells him about what Angela had told him about the break of custody, about the, basically in essence, that the DAT file, because of the break of custody, cannot be used in court, and that thus, makes Colby will no longer be facing charges. So he also tells them about the honeypot. A honeypot is, we'll get into what a honeypot is, but basically he's taking the server that Elliot has the F Society root file, and he has it on lockdown in essence, just to save things, to make the review go a little bit faster here. And Tyrell is very fascinated by this, and he wants all his Gideon's findings on this whole matter about the honeypot and the DAT file. He doesn't seem to be terribly concerned about Colby. He doesn't really care about that, but he is concerned about the honeypot. And then Gideon gets a text message from Lloyd Chung, which is the coworker at Allsafe, saying that their network is down, 911. And so basically their meeting ends, and Gideon goes back to work. Tyrell goes to work on his computer and tries to get into the honeypot server. And he tries to look into the information, and he sees after doing a few clicks there, and we'll talk about that in what's real. That F Society, there is a log for an F Society, a root file there, and then he tries to enter it, but he doesn't have permission to enter it. And then his assistant comes back in and says that the police are there and they wanted to question him. And he's like, why? You know, because there was a body on the roof and they're not saying who it was, but it's very tragic. Tyrell gets up. He gets up from his office. He says, you know, tell the police I'll make an appointment. Work has to get done. Connect me to the Dulles server firmer. I'll take everything on my mobile. And he leaves the office. Now we're cut back to Gideon and all safe, and things are at a panic there. So everyone's in a panic, and it's obvious that the malware that Angela had installed from the hackers or from the Dark Army is working on the system. Elliot's not aware of this from the Dark Army at this point, but he is trying to sort out what the malware is, and he's working on it, and everyone is in the office is working on it. Gideon is shutting down all the appointments. He's canceling everything. Gideon sees Elliot, and he gives him a look of suspicion, but he's not the only one that's looking at Elliot. It's Ollie is as well. So Elliot sits down, he starts working on it. Ollie comes over. He has these hard drives in his hand, and he basically tells Elliot that he has to go to this company called Blank Disk to have the hard drives erased. And he's like, oh, why don't you go get someone else, an IT guy to get it? And he's like, everyone's swamped with this. I need you to do this, bro. You know, basically, Ollie is, I guess you can say, over Elliot. He doesn't want to make this uncomfortable. Elliot observes the fact that Ollie is sweating, and he's wondering what was up with Elliot. He seems to be really trying to pressure Elliot to do this, and Elliot, you know, gives in. He's going to go to get these hard drives wiped, and he goes, you have to be there by 2. Why don't you leave now? And he's like, it's only noon. He goes, yeah, you need to go and do this. You know, you need to do this. So Elliot takes the hard drives. He gets on his computer, does what he does best, which is to hack Ollie. And he sees from Holly's Gmail that he's been emailing Angela. So now he knows that something's up just by the subject heading. And he goes and he meets with Angela. When he meets with Angela, he finds out that, you know, what the hack was. And he's wondering why Angela, you know, didn't come to him about the hack. And, you know, why didn't you let him know that she was being hacked and that she had to do this? And she's like, Elliot, you haven't been here. You've basically checked out on this. And they're having this conversation about their friendship. And Angela's like, you know, all this has happened way before whatever happened to Shayla. You know, this hasn't been a month. It hasn't been 2 months. You've basically have not been here. And she's very frustrated with Elliot. She knows Elliot is lying, that he's holding back on her. Elliot knows, so she knows. And he's like, and he espouses, because he's kind of talking, you know, to the audience, to his friend, you know, that, you know, hackers have this wall and she wants to peer over his wall, but she knows she can never see who he really is, and he's never going to show Angela who he really is. And so they're a bit of an impasse, and he begins to realize that the hack at AllSafe, which is messing up with the network, but it's not malicious, and him going to this place to have the hard drives wiped out is the appointment with White Rose, and this has all had been a setup, and that he needs to get to this appointment. Just prior to that, there was a scene with Tyrell, and he's at home. He had left the office to go home, and he's consulting with his wife. His wife doesn't know at this point that he murdered the woman. He murdered Knowles's wife up on the roof, and they're strategizing, and she's wondering why they haven't heard anything from the wife, because he was supposed to have sex with her, take pictures, and blackmail her. And he's like, you know, these things take time. Blackmailing is very delicate. We don't know his work. His wife is very frustrated because they've been planning this, and that he needs to basically step up his game to get this done. He tries to reassure her, but he is in super panic mode. He does not know what to do, and he cannot no longer consult with his partner on anything, because he murdered a woman. You know, he messed up. He fucked up, basically. And so now Elliot is going to the meeting to White Rose. So Elliot goes to the place where he's supposed to take the drives, and he knows this is the meeting for the White Rose. He announces himself. He goes to a room, which is a Faraday cage, and we'll talk about that and what is real. And he meets with a technician. It's all in white. The technician leaves the room, and he's wondering why the guy left. And as they pan away to show the guy leaving and they pan back, White Rose is in the room. And White Rose, she introduces herself and says that he has 3 minutes to convey whatever it is for this meeting, and then they're done. And he's like, why did you stop? Why did it hack? You need to wait. And she's like, there's again, you're conveying information she already has. You're, you know, basically wasting your time. And she has these beeps for every 30 seconds, basically every minute. It conveys the ticking of the time, letting her know how much time she has. And she basically says she has 17 other items on the agenda and she has other things she needs to do. And basically he conveys to her that they have a method to take out the rest of the five additional places that Evil Corp has placed their backup drives. And she goes, finally, you convey some information that she has of use of need. And he goes, well, you know, why did you hack an offsite? What is the point? And why did you back up? This is, you know, your problem. She goes, you deviated from the plan when you attacked Kobe. You convey suspicion. Because you convey suspicion, this is why we hacked Gideon. Gideon's suspicious. Is he placed the server that you infected as a honeypot? Elliot was unaware of this. So you are unaware of this, but you want to continue on this hack. And goes, we can take care of it. We have a plan for taking out the rest of the backup drives, and he will take care of the server. And she basically tells him that in 50 hours and 23 minutes, the hack is on. All parties will be ready. So basically, he needs to basically get his shit together and convey this hack. And she tells him that she hacks time while he hacks people. So this is a whole different type of methodology going on here. The different types of, I guess you can say, ethos or patterns or ways upon which people view the world. White Rose views things through time, time management, timing of doing things. And he views things through people. He, as a, you know, the hacking of people, hacking of his therapist, hacking of his friend. Hacking of Gideon, which is about to take place. He hacks people. He figures out how people work. That's how he got into Steel Mountain. That's how he put the Raspberry Pi into the mountain. All these different types of deals, all these different types of ideas. And so they're colliding here. And so basically a timeline has been set. 50 hours to 23 minutes, the plan to take down Evil Corp is going to happen. All Elliot has to do now is figure out how to take the honeypot off. And that means hacking into Gideon, hacking into, and making sure that the server is no longer a honeypot, but back onto the full network. And as he leaves the meeting, because the 3 minutes are up, and before he leaves the meeting, he asks White Rose why she's doing this. And the time is up and she doesn't convey the answer. But before she leaves, also, she lets him know that, you know, next time, because Elliot was like, next time, because she knew about the honeypot, that she could have been hacking Gideon, that Gideon's been suspicious of Elliot, that they could have told him. And she goes, there won't be a next time. I don't have enough time to meet people twice, and he's not worthy of meeting her twice. And she's also conveyed in this, the dialogue they have, this very short time they had, something that Tyrell has already conveyed to Elliot, that he's kind of a bit disappointed in Elliot. He expected something more significant from Elliot when they were at Steel Mountain in the bathroom, that he thought Elliot was a bit more, that this whole hack that he's doing, this revenge plan, is very pedestrian. And she conveys that she's a bit disappointed with Elliot too, that she expected more from him. So this whole disappointment expectation has been happening. And even Angela, in their conversation that Angela and Elliot have had, there's a bit of a disappointment. Like, she never expected, and she doesn't convey this to Elliot, that she was going to have to end up ending their friendship, their relationship, because of his behavior and his non-communication and just all the stuff that dealing with Elliot has come to, that she's going to have to give up on him. She never expected that to happen. And so you have that mindset in Elliot as well. But also, he talks about it as he's leaving, that he's been infected with White Rose time management, time paradox. She's infected him, and he's trying to think, and he's talking to his friend, and he wishes he could just, you know, manage time and leap forward to the conclusion. And as he's thinking it, to try to calm himself down, because he's kind of going into a bit of a panic mode of himself, he's sitting there at the desk at AllSafe, and we have no idea how he got there. It's just, boom, he's at the point, he's somehow like almost time travel. There's a gap in time. And we'll talk about this much later. But here he is at AllSafe. And then what has happened is basically F Society hacks into the network and is on the feed and it's on the television set and is telling them they're responsible for the hack into AllSafe. They're responsible for the hack. And they talk about AllSafe and Gideon and everything. And everyone in the office rushes into watches F Society talk. And initially, Gideon was going to turn it off, but they start talking about Gideon and AllSafe and then start listening. And Elliot is waiting for everyone to get in there. And then he goes to Gideon's phone. He does a few things. He hacks into Elliot's phone. He gets the command prompt. He's at his desk. And he basically takes the control of Gideon's credentials and he pulls off the honeypot and puts it back onto the network. And he knows that within 40 hours, the server will be back on its full command. And then he erases his information. And Gideon's looking around and he's wondering why he doesn't see Elliot. And Elliot's at his desk and Elliot's rushing to finish what he's doing. He sees Gideon's coming. And Gideon starts yelling at Elliot. He goes, "Everyone in this company is in that room watching basically everything explode." And he goes, "What are you doing at your desk?" And Elliot doesn't have an answer. He doesn't have a response. And Gideon's like super pissed about this. He's like very suspicious of what's happening. And then more stuff goes on and Gideon gets pulled away. And Elliot knows that at the time the clock is ticking on him and Gideon, that what Elliot has done, the relationship to him is frayed, that Gideon just knows there's something wrong and Elliot is really in the crosshairs here. So we cut away to Tyler and he's in his car and he's talking to Mr. Robot. And Tyrell is telling him, you know, "We're supposed to be allies. I need to know what you're planning. I need what's going on." And Mr. Robot's like, "We're not allies, you know. We're not going to be able to agree on anything." And Tyro is really desperate and he grabs Mr. Robot and he goes, "There, I know your secret. I think there are people close to you that are going to be very, you know, not happy if I were to tell them your secret." And Mr. Robot is like, "You can weigh the pros and cons on this and tabulations, but we both know you're not going to tell anyone. That is in the benefit, I guess, of both of them, really, for whatever was being planned to go forward. So if you go ahead and tell people, go ahead and tell people. That's fine." And so Mr. Robot leaves, and it's very interesting. And there's their interactions. And then Tyrell is back at his home, and he grabs like a big bottle of vodka, and he's chugging it. And his wife was like, "Wow, I thought I was going to be graduating you here. You know, the gala is canceled, which means, you know, he's probably declining his position for CTO. I thought you were responsible for this, but you're, you know," once again, she's kind of like, "Like, what's going on with you? What's happening?" And Tyrell is like, he gets on his knees because she's sitting down on the couch and she's eating these olive oils with his fork. And he's like, "I just met with somebody I thought was just a lowly, you know, computer technician. But he has his plan. At first, I thought it was just petty revenge, but he has a grander plan. He's like a god. There's something coming, and we've been focusing on the wrong things. We're trying to get, you know, to be CTO of Evil Corp, this big corporation, when we should have been focusing on other things, but been focusing on the wrong people." It's just like, "What is going on with you? What is happening? Why are you doing this? What's going on?" And he's like, "You should be focusing on what is above us." And he's like, "God." And she like laughs at him. And then the doorbell rings and she tells him, go get the door. And so he gets the door and it's the detective says to try to meet him earlier at his office and they've come to his home. And she comes up upon him and he's like, "I'll meet you at the office tomorrow." And they're like, "No, this is time sensitive. We need to talk to both of you." His wife is there. And she's like, "You know, what is this about?" And they're like, "Well, there was a murder at your husband's place of employment. You both know the deceased." And he goes, "Who's the deceased?" "Susan Nolens." And his wife is like really shocked by this. But she covers really quickly. She goes, "Come on in, detectives. You know, this is very terrible news." she, as they're walking in, she's giving her husband like the dagger's eyes about this. She goes to the detectives, being, you know, the hostess with the mostest, asks them if they need anything, any tea, any water. They give her, you know, the drink orders. They sit down and they're asking Tyrell, you know, are you okay? What's going on with you? Prior to her going into the kitchen, because the living room and the kitchen are connected together, she had picked up the olive oils and pulls out the fork that she had. And she goes into the kitchen and you can't really see her. And then all of a sudden you hear a bit of a scream. So Tyrell gets up and goes over, and her water is broken. So he tells the detectives, you know, his water is broken, they think the baby's coming. And he looks at her, and she looks over, and there's a fork with blood on it. And obviously she has punctured her her water to force the baby to come. And she's like, I'm not going to let them take you away from us, basically her and the baby. So that is the end of that part of the story for the moment. So obviously his baby's on the way. And then we are meeting with Elliot and Darlene. Often it's kind of like a, I guess they're still around where the F Society is, because in the background there's like a roller coaster or something. They're like at the wharf or something, and they're meeting and they're talking with one another. So they're meeting and they're talking, and Elliot was like, did you complete the all dream hack, which is the hack to control the climate controls and all the offsite places? And she's like, yeah, it went out with a hitch. I'm pretty smart and capable of doing things. Not like you would care. And he's like, you know, he cares. We're going to do this. You know, everything's accomplished in 40 hours. The hack is going on. And she's like, this is really happening. And he's like, yeah, this is really happening. We should celebrate. She screams. She's enthusiastic. She starts congratulating Elliot. She's saying he's the best person she knows. It's everything. All this is happening because of him. And she's like, you know, I really love you, Elliot. And then he leans in and kisses her. And she freaks out. And she's like, oh, my God, Elliot, what is wrong with you? And he goes, what? I'm sorry. I didn't know. And she goes, Elliot, I need you to tell me who you think I am. And he's like, you're Darlene. You're Darlene. He keeps saying it. You're Darlene. You're Darlene. And she goes, Elliot, I need you to tell me who you think I am. And before she even says it, Elliot says, you're my sister. And she's like, before that, like when he kissed her, she's like, you forgot again, didn't you? And like, obviously this has happened before. And he freaks out. He puts his hood on, takes his back, and he leaves. And he goes to the subway and he starts freaking out. He's like, I'm crazy. And then all the memories about Darlene start rushing in. He starts remembering things like, you know, she ran away in the third grade. They used to sing for Grotto Chaco together. They both didn't get along with their mom. He's freaking out in the subway. He's freaking out with the fact that he's crazy. He's saying, I'm crazy. He should have stayed on the meds. He should have listened to Krista. He can't believe this is happening. How could he not remember Darlene? Why is it he's remembering things now? What is happening to him? He gets home. He's like, he's talking to himself. He never should have created his friend. He looks in the mirror and he's looking at himself. He's like, how could I forget Darlene? How could I completely forget a whole entire person? He's looking at the mirror. He sees himself. He sees Angela. He sees Tyrell. He sees the F Society mask. He sees Mr. Robot. He even sees Darlene. He just starts flashing. He breaks the mirror. He's panicking and he's trying to look himself on the internet. He can't find any information about himself. And then he realizes, he goes and he goes to his little CD flip book, and he's going through it, and he goes to the first one, and there's a blank CD. And so he pulls out the blank CD, puts it in the computer, and there's all the information about his life, all the pictures, everything, and he's just freaking out even more. And then he goes and he pulls a picture down from the top of the roof that is a picture we've seen of him and his mother. But now that we look at it, we see a picture of him, his mother, Mr. Robot, and Darlene. Because on the computer, you see all these pictures of him and Mr. Robot as a child. He starts having memories about Mr. Robot. And it's clearly obvious that Mr. Robot is his father. There's even a picture of him as getting a Back to the Future 2 VHS. And he's dressed as the doctor. And Mr. Robot is, I guess, dressed as Marty McFly. and he has all these pictures of him and Darlene and Mr. Robot, him and Darlene, and it's just all rushing to him, and he's freaking out. He doesn't understand. How could this have happened? And then there's a knock on the door, and it's Mr. Robot. And he opens it, and he goes, Mr. Robot tells him, we need to talk. So thus ends another great episode of Mr. Robot. Again, it ends on a great note. It leaves you wanting more. Now we're going to talk about what was real on the show. So let's talk about what was real on the show. There were quite a few things. One was the social engineering aspect. There was the one where Ollie was trying to kind of pressure, I wouldn't say social engineering, but he was kind of pressuring Elliot to do what he needed to be done, which was a kind of epic fail by just basically pulling rank on Elliot to take the hard drives and go to the blank place to have the hard drives erased. The one that was very successful and was kind of slick was Darlene, as she was looking through, you know, the Wall Street boyfriend guy that she was with, looking for his safe, finding it, and trying to figure out what his security numbers to open up the safe. And she's looking around. She's looking for the kind of like the social prompt, the prompt that people have, whether it be a picture, a little figurine, an item, something like a password prompt that will help someone remember what their security password is for the safe. And she looks and she sees the guy's college degree, which is prominently displayed near the safe, and realizes that the numbers are his graduation date. She prompts it in. Boom. She opens the safe, gets the gun. The other kind of successful thing that was going on here was the use of the honeypot. So honeypots are often used in the security game. They're a trap set to detect, deflect, or in some manner counteract attempts to authorize use of information systems, from the definition from Wikipedia. And basically what Gideon's done is basically he isolated the infected server, CS30, from the main network, and basically put it like in a virtual network where it appears to be within the Evil Corp's network, but in fact is not. And it's a way to trap F Society when they hack again or try to hack again and use it. And that way, when they go in there, they're able to basically hack back F Society, infect them, and trace them back to their point of origin. And it's very important that they get this honeypot reactivated back onto the network, that server, because that's where the F Society rootkit is. And Gideon's use of the honeypot and the fact that he was able to isolate the server and decided to do that was very clever on his part. It's what he's supposed to do as a security consultant. That's typically what they do. What Elliot did to not only use a bit of social engineering, like a distraction, a sleight of hand to have F Society to call out All Safe at the place of employment, and the fact that he was able to go in and use the credentials, hack into basically Gideon's phone, get his credentials, get into infected so he can have full access, appear that everything he's doing is coming from Elliot's computer, Elliot's phone, Gideon's information. So when he talks to the network in Dulles, let the server farmer know to put the honeypot back on. Basically, that particular hack is something that hackers do all the time when they try to steal people's credentials and look at and spoof and appear to be an authoritative place. This sometimes happens when malware affects an already existing company's servers. Then the thieves steal the credentials, and then they will spam the clients, or they will hack into the clients and appear to be, you know, they're from Bank of America, or recently within the cryptocurrency space, Coinbase gets this a lot. What happened recently was their email client that they used to contact their clients, the service provider, was hacked. And so there was a lot of Coinbase customers who were asked for their passwords and information because they were trying to say, oh, there's a problem with the network. We need you to re-log on, connect here, and enter your password and connect into your Coinbase account. That's a false thing. This happens quite often within the internet world. So that's a technique that is utilized. And basically that's what Elliot did, was he used that technique to get into Gideon's information and to pretend to be Gideon to order to get the honeypot active again. The other thing is the Faraday cage. The Faraday cage is something that exists. It is a method to block out any kind of electronic signals. It's often used for the purpose of like a clean room to protect data information or to test information to make sure things are secure so they don't get infected. There's all sorts of different ways to make a Faraday cage. You can even make one at home. I have some links in at home about that, where you can use basically aluminum foil and cardboard boxes or a metal box. Basically, it's a way to prevent signals from going in and out. This is something that, you know, even Edward Snowden did when he was talking to reporters. He placed all their phones in the freezer of a refrigerator, so that way their signals couldn't be tracked or traced, or someone could use their phone to listen in on his location or even the conversations that were happening. He was happening with reporters. So it's a common technique or a kind of device is utilized by all sorts of different types of businesses that they have for the purposes of their electronics place. The actual place in itself, blank drivers, is you will see this a lot with major companies and corporations that they will outsource places that will take their old computers or old hard drives and destroy them. Much like how Elliot does at home, where he pulls all his drivers and he fries the little SIM cards. Well, that's a place where they're at does that. They go and they drill holes into the hard drivers. They wipe everything out so no one can go back, find these in the trash can or something or in the dump and redeploy or reuse that information. You also see that with like shredding companies. It's the equivalent of the paper end, but for electronic purposes. So this place called Blank Drive was outsourced by Allsafe for that purpose. It's an existing company that they utilize. And so Elliot going there is not unusual. What was unusual is the fact that somehow the Dark Army was able, for a brief period of time of 3 minutes or more, was able to control this place for the purpose of this meeting. Which again talks about the technique that Elliot focuses on, more of a social engineering aspect of using his hacking techniques to hack people. That's how he's able to get into different infrastructures and understanding of people and how they behave and what they do and their responses. The biggest example of that is the episode with Steel Mountain when he was talking to Bill to kind of get access to the second level, when he basically destroyed Bill's confidence to get a supervisor. While White Rose focuses on time. Things are supposed to be deployed at a certain time. Things have to happen at a certain time. The other thing is suspicion. Hackers are paranoid and suspicious of everybody. They don't trust anybody. They don't even trust each other. And the fact that Elliot placed all the blame on Terry Colby for the hack caused the Dark Army and White Rose to raise their flags about this whole endeavor altogether, because he placed an unnecessary component, an unnecessary variable into the whole plan by making this a revenge thing against Terry Colby. And so that's why they hacked into Allsafe and started monitoring Gideon. And because of that, they were aware of the fact that there was a honeypot involved. And so it's all about time management, all about suspicion, and all about protecting your resources there. I didn't personally see any specific philosophy when it comes to hacking, when it comes to time management or time hacking. It's a very interesting component I personally have never really seen before, but it does have, you know, an extra dramatic effect for the show, knowing that they only have, the moment that Elliot left, 50 hours until everything is a go. And that within 48 hours, not 40 hours, but within 48 hours, the server will be back on. So there's a small window of time that they have of less than 2 hours to do this hack, to hack, you know, Evil Corp and take everything down. So Dark Army's responsibilities are China, while F Society's responsibilities are to hack the Evil Corp servers, which they have Darlene's rootkit already in place, and to take out Aldrin. The hack that they have there, which is important, which they discovered and figured out how to do last episode, was that all the climate control network that Evil Corp uses to climate control their backup places, like Steel Mountain and the five other places they've contracted to do, are all on the same network. And because they're all on the same network, they're able to target that All Dream, the company itself's network, and be able to control all the climate control places at the same time, and thus do what they originally were going to do, which was to heat everything up at Steel Mountain and thus destroy all the data drives in there. Now they can do it at all six places at once. So all the places are moving. Everything is going, well, according to plan. And the other thing is the, I guess you can say real, the chain of custody thing with the dot file about Kobe, whether or not he is responsible for the hack or not. I guess that you can say is also real. Like, if you break chain of custody, it can't be used in the court of law. It is a legality issue. It's often used in court cases and things of that nature. So there's a real component to that. And that pretty much covers everything except maybe like blackmail, which is something that hackers do quite often. They'll hack into an infrastructure. The recent case is Ashley Madison. Ashley Madison was hacked. The people that hacked it wanted to receive funds in Bitcoin, or they were going to lease the data. Ashley Madison didn't pay, so the data has been released, and thus, in essence, a very highly prominent company has, in essence, been destroyed. All the data has been released in three different chunks from the latest report I've seen, and now Ashley Madison is facing lawsuits, class action lawsuits up to almost $537 million. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of individual lawsuits. There's a lot of damage coming from the fact that this information was released, since this is something that hackers do. Ransomware is another thing that they do, where they hack into an infrastructure and they encrypt everything. And if you don't pay the amount, which is in Bitcoin, to the hackers, and then they won't give you the keys to release your information. What Tyrell was going to do with his blackmail was originally he was supposed to sleep with Susan Knowles, take pictures, and then blackmail her, so that her husband will step down and then Tyrell will become the CTO of Evil Corp. That's not what happened. So that pretty much covers up what is real on this episode. It was very exciting, very engaging. I look forward to the next episode. But it was great stuff. It was another great episode of Mr. Robot. So that's it for the review. Thank you very much for listening. And until next
time. This has been a Ferocious Shy Space Odyssey Network production.